Well, good morning and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request today, 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 is the number to call to make your prayer request known. You can also email or text to prayer@yeshome.com. Either way, let us know what's on your heart today and we'll lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet as we look forward to praying for you today. Praying for you as your whatever that need may be. Maybe big, maybe small. Don't think it's too small for God to care about. Don't think it's too large for Him to deal with. And remember, we also keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information. We just want you to get the prayer you need. So don't feel like, you know, I mean, obviously if you call in, you're having trouble in your marriage or something like that. It's not something you necessarily want broadcast over the radio, but you still need to get prayer for it. So we understand that. We don't want anybody not to get the prayer they need because of that or any embarrassment or shame or anything. So you don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in or text in. God knows who you are, and that's what matters. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. Well, let's get the prayer closet started with a little bit of prayer. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can come together and lift each other up, encourage one another in prayer. Bear one another's burdens as we lift them up before you, knowing that you are there, ready to hear from us, ready to receive us, ready to move and work in our lives. So we thank you, Lord. We give you all glory and praise for this, that you are such a good and gracious God who loves us so much and does such good things for us. You are indeed a great God, Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, God our strength, God our healer. So we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you this day, excited to see what you're going to do in the lives of your people in this day. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, if you have a prayer request, 419-389-0893, the number to call, or email or text to prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God. And we've been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great chapter on love that Paul wrote. And just kind of breaking it down and looking at it verse by verse here. What I love about this chapter is Paul doesn't just commend us to love. He tells us what love is. Now, we hear a lot about in our society about it. We just need to love each other and let's love everybody. But nobody ever defines their terms. Nobody ever defines what they mean by love. And usually what the world means by love is some kind of squishy feeling about somebody. Having good feelings or good attitude towards someone. But Paul, that's not what he's talking about here. Paul's version of love is defined. He tells us exactly what it is. And what we find is that love is not so much about how we feel about someone else or how they make us feel, but what we do for others. That's really the heart of love. What are we doing for others? How are we treating others? What we find is love is other-directed. And we looked last week, we finished up with verse 7 and looked at all the qualities of love. So let's pick it up in verse 4, chapter 13. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see, but a poor reflection is in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So he defines what love is, and as we've looked at the qualities of love over the last couple of weeks, we've seen that it is really other-directed. Love is not about us and what we're getting out of it and what's doing to us, but how we treat others, how we act toward others. Love is an obligation upon our part. And if we say we love someone, it obligates us to them to act towards them in certain ways. And at the very end, he tells us that love always perseveres. That throughout everything, love stands. And then we're going to pick it up here in verse 8, where he says, love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So remember the context of this. Paul has been teaching right before this chapter. He's teaching about the spiritual gifts. And he's talking about the different gifts that people have and the different gifts God's given the church for the edification of the church and edification of the body. And so he went through all this list and talked about all the different gifts and how no one gift is greater than the other and every gift is vital and necessary. But then he says in verse 13, but now I'll show you the most excellent way. And he talks about those gifts, you know, if I have the gift of tongues, but can speak with angels, and the gift of knowledge, but have not love, I'm a resounding gong, I'm a clanging cymbal. Basically saying, look, well, I've just taught you about the gifts. These gifts are important. They serve the church. They serve a vital function in the church. You should eagerly seek out your gifts and exercise it, use it, walk in it. But he reminds us that at the end of the day, if we aren't using those gifts in love, they're useless. They're useless. That the spiritual gifts, in a way, exist to enable us to express our love to others. It's a way we serve others. It's a way we show love to them. By exercising our gifts, we're serving them. Because our gifts are all service gifts, if you will. They're all there to serve others, ultimately. To encourage others, help others. I mean, the purpose of the gift is how we serve the church and edify the church. They're not for us, they're for the church. And so the whole purpose of the gifts is they're just a way for us to show love. They're a way for us to express love, love for God and love for others. And so Paul says, love never fails. As for these gifts, someday they're going to pass away. Someday they're going to be unnecessary. You know, when we're standing in heaven in the presence of God, there's not going to be any need for the gift of prophecy. There's not going to be any need for the gift of evangelism. There's not going to be any need for any of these spiritual gifts. Because we'll be in the direct presence of God. We'll be existing before the Lord in a much different level. God gives us these spiritual gifts as a manifestation of His Spirit within us, the power of His Spirit within us, to serve the church in supernatural ways. But in heaven, we'll live fully in that Spirit. And so it's not that the gifts won't be done. It's just, you know, all these things will happen naturally and fully. And so the gifts themselves will pass away. What will remain is love. And notice he said, love never fails. It's not that the gifts failed. It's just that they have a time, a usefulness for the time in which God has given them. And at some point, their usefulness will run out and we'll move on to something different. Much like the law in the Old Testament. The law in the Old Testament was good. It served its purpose. But once Christ came, that law was fulfilled. It was no longer necessary. We moved into grace through the work of Jesus Christ. And once Christ returns and takes us home to be with the Father, the gifts will no longer be necessary. We'll move on to something else, something greater. So Paul is reminding us, you know, yes, desire the gifts, exercise the gifts. They're necessary for now, but don't forget the greatest thing is love. And we need to exercise those gifts in love and use them to express love. Because if we're not, we're betraying them. They're nothing. Because eventually, these gifts are going to pass away. Don't take pride in this gift that's temporal. That has a lifespan. It has a shelf life. Just like the material things of this world. It's not going to last forever. We need to fix our minds and hearts on the eternal things. And he says love is the eternal thing. Prophecies will cease. Tongues, they will be stilled. We won't be speaking in tongues in heaven because we're speaking directly to God. We'll have a direct and intimate communication deeper than anything we can, I think, understand or experience in this lifetime. It simply won't be necessary there. Not the tongues are bad, but it's just in heaven, they won't be necessary. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. You know, he's talking about the earthly knowledge, our knowledge of God. This knowledge that we have now will pass away to be replaced by greater and fuller knowledge. Because right now, our knowledge of God is in many ways incomplete. It's limited. It has to be. I mean, we're not in the presence of God. We're just not able to fully fathom him. And I think even in his presence, we won't be able to fully fathom him. But the fact is that all of us probably have in our minds images or thoughts of God that aren't quite right. Not intentionally, not purposefully. I'm not saying they're heresy or blasphemy, but we haven't quite got it yet. That's why we debate theological issues and argue about things. And good people who love the Lord and love God and love and respect the word of God as inerrant and true can disagree about things. Should we baptize infants? Should we baptize as believers? There's a big debate in the church about that. And there are people on both sides who love the Lord and want to faithfully serve him and want to be true to the scriptures and be true to what he's told us. You know, we have a different understanding of certain things and so it leads to a different outcome. And, you know, we'll find out in heaven, I suppose, what it should be. But we sometimes look and say, how can that be? How can two people who really love the Lord and love the Word of God and are trying to get it right and trying to understand it properly come to different conclusions? Well, because our knowledge is limited. It's incomplete. But this knowledge will pass away, and it will be replaced by the perfect knowledge of God. In heaven, we won't have any incorrect ideas about God. In heaven, we won't have any, you know, unformed ideas about God. We won't have any ideas about God that are like, I just don't, you know. We'll know. The things we know, we'll know. And everything we know will be true. In that sense, our knowledge will be complete. I don't mean, think when he talks here about having complete knowledge, he talks about an exhaustive knowledge of God. Because I don't think we ever have an exhaustive knowledge of God where we know everything there is to know about him. I think we spend eternity learning about God. Which, by the way, is why heaven won't be boring. Because we're always going to be learning and growing. It's not like we get there and we got everything figured out and every question's answered and we're just done. We're just now just hanging around on clouds playing harps for the rest of eternity. That would get old after a while. But that's not what heaven's going to be like. We'll constantly be learning about God and growing. But again, that doesn't mean, you know, the things we know here are not good, but these things are going to pass. They're going to pass. Tongues and prophecy and knowledge and all these other gifts, they'll pass away to be replaced by something greater. Because it says we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When God's perfection comes, the imperfect understanding of him will disappear. The imperfect belief in him will disappear. The imperfect faith in him will disappear. The imperfect prayer to him will disappear. All of that will disappear so that the perfect can take its place. It will disappear not because these things aren't important or good, but because the way we're exercising them now, they're inferior to what's coming. Then we'll have the fullness of knowledge, the directness of God. Perfection is coming to replace the imperfect. And notice what hangs with perfection, love. Love perfects us. So all these gifts, people argue about them sometimes, get uptight about them. Don't get uptight about them. Don't argue about them. It's not worth it. Besides, the purpose of gifts is to show love, and arguing and yelling at people isn't showing love. And they're not going to last. They're temporary. And while they serve a vital and important function in the church today, they're not forever. But love is. So even if we have disagreement about certain of the gifts and how they're to be exercised and used and which are active or not active and all that, these things people can get caught up in, let us not forget Paul's admonition here that whatever we do it in love. Without it, we're a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. We are nothing. So let us exercise these gifts in love, recognizing that they are temporary and that only love is eternal. And only when the perfection comes, all that will remain is the love that we have for God and for others. And let's put our focus on that. It's been the Prayer Closet. If you have a prayer request that you would like to get to us, you can do that at any time by emailing or texting at prayer@yeshome.com. If you need prayer during the day, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., there's always folks here at the offices would be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. You can go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button and you'll get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. God bless everybody. Have a fantastic day and we will see you bright and early tomorrow, 9 o'clock on the Prayer Closet.